Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us today. This is Sunday, December 29th, 2024. We're coming close to the end of the year, Ed. It's really close. And we're glad you're with us this evening. And we're here every Sunday evening on New Vision Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And Ed, it's been a little cold here.
Yes.
We had some really, really cold days last week. And I don't know. I don't like this cold weather. I'm ready for summertime, and winter just got here.
It could be worse.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. You know, we can always bundle up. And I'm just glad to be here. And, you know, we've been studying about Israel.
Yes.
And are they God's chosen people? And so, you know, 2 weeks ago we were here in the studio, and we had talked about Matthew chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 24, and we still have a lot more information to show,
right,
to see where we stand. You know, we had talked about how Israel had rejected the Son of God, and we're going to dig down even deeper into that. And it's really important because so many people misunderstand this today.
Yes.
But before we get started, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope.
We're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we've been here since, in this location, since about 2015. And our ministry is just simply to preach the Word of God and to share what we learn as we study it, and we're still learning with others, because it will affect your life. It's the way of salvation if you look at God's Word. It tells us how to live our lives and how we can receive forgiveness of sins through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we have our services on Wednesday evening. We have a prayer/Bible study time. And that is available via Zoom if anybody's interested in joining. And we have our church service on Saturday, or the Sabbath. And, you know, some people think, well, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just simply following the Word of God,
The
commandments of God. And we have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning, and that's available via live stream or Zoom. And we have our worship hour at 11.
Yes. And, you know, when we do that worship service, sometimes it ends around 12, but sometimes, depending on the length of the sermon, it goes on a little long.
Depends who's speaking.
Depends on who's speaking. I tend to be a little long-winded, don't I? But we do try to start promptly at 11, and typically by 12:30 we're done.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're welcome. We'd love to have you join us. If somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
They can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
And if you want to reach me, you can reach me, mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can just simply send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. One other thing, you know, we're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all these years. We always like to say hello and thank you to him for keeping us here and giving us a place right here on this. It's an independent music format, but he keeps the Word of God out there. He wants us to be on here each week.
Not just anybody would let us actually read and teach what the Bible says.
It's true. And, you know, that's what I appreciate. Whether he agrees or disagrees, he feels like we're spreading the gospel, and he wants us to be on the air to give people an opportunity to hear what the Bible actually says. And that's a blessing. It's a true blessing to us, just to you and I, because each week when we're here, you know, many times you might not realize this, friends, but as we're going through these texts, we're learning, we're seeing things that we've never seen before.
Right.
So it's an ever-going process,
isn't it? Yeah.
We're always constantly learning. Also, go ahead.
We don't know everything about the Bible.
Not nearly everything.
And we continue to study and to learn. And what we learn, we like to share with others. So that's really why we're here.
Yeah, you'll have to bear with me, friends. I keep having to hit this cough button. You might be hearing me through Ed's mic a little bit. I apologize. I'm not sick. I just every now and then this happens to me. And it just depends on how much I've been exposed to the outdoors and things. So I want to apologize for that. But also, you know, talking about learning from the Word of God, it's just it's something that we want to encourage you to open your Bible with us.
Yes.
So that you can see the words on the page.
Right.
Don't just believe it because we say it. You know, sometimes when I read accidentally, I might skip a word or I might think it says something, and I don't never do it on purpose.
Right.
But you might read it and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not really what this says.
Well, in a sermon, you might do it on purpose just to draw attention to it.
I have done that, yeah. There have been times I'll say it and I'll pause, and then the look on people's faces sometimes, no, that's not what it says.
Yeah.
But if I do it on purpose, you will know I did it on purpose. And so, also, I just want to remind everybody, if you would like to hear any of the sermons that have been given or any topics, you can go to the website, prophecyhope.com. You can type in whatever, you know, there's a search bar just like you have on pretty much every website. Type in the topic. If you were looking for Son of God, or if there's a particular topic, if you're looking at holidays or whatever it is, type that topic in, hellfire, you know, whatever it might be, rapture. And there will be sermons typically on many, many subjects. If there's a topic you would like to hear, and it might be something we've never studied, send us an email, and we will work on studying that and either bringing it here to this program or doing a sermon on it or even studying it on a Wednesday night. And so we just want to invite you to don't be afraid to ask questions, because we ask questions constantly.
Yeah.
Are there any other thoughts before we start this study?
I don't think so.
All right. Would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, thank you for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, that we can read the words on the page and be able to understand how it applies to us today, our current lives that we live. And Father, it brings us a hope and joy in our lives to see this gift you've given us of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that people will read your word and accept this gift that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So now, Father, as we open your word, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, before we dive in, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Matthew chapter 23. We looked at Matthew chapter 24, and we took a glance at Matthew chapter 27. So can you just give us a little review, maybe, of just some of the things that we had talked about through those chapters, the things that maybe just give us a little highlight or an overview?
Well, we looked at accounts or stories of Jesus' interaction with the religious leaders of the time and with his followers as well. And Jesus was telling them, hey, I'm the Son of God.
Right.
God sent me, you know, and they didn't believe him. They rejected him. They wanted to put him to death, and they eventually would do that.
Yeah.
And I want to share a text from Acts chapter 10.
Okay.
The book of Acts is really an account or a story of the early Christian church, but it also gives us information about the interaction of Jesus' followers with the religious leaders of that time.
Right.
And this is a testimony in Acts 10, starting with verse 36. It says, You know the word which God sent to the sons of Israel, preaching the gospel of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So here we see that God had information he wanted the sons of Israel to know, and he sent that information, which is described as the preaching the gospel of peace, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, that word which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Hmm.
And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they killed him and hanged him on a tree.
Wow.
God did all these things through his son, Jesus Christ. It says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. You know, oppressed being by the devil, you know, demon-possessed, have illness or diseases, or some even died. And so Jesus, through the power of his Father, went through the land doing all these things for the purpose of preaching the gospel of peace. And it was directed to the sons of Israel. Yet they killed him. They hung him on a tree.
They did. And so, you know, we look at these texts. I want to state this, and I know I've stated this before. I don't know if I've done it here on this program, but many Christians that I know will say, I'm a New Testament Christian.
Uh-huh.
Well, keep in mind that the Jews reject the New Testament. They don't believe any of these things that we're reading. And if you are a Christian and you believe these things, how can you believe this and look back and say, well, the nation of Israel is God's chosen people, if they're rejecting these very things that you're reading right here?
Not only do they reject the New Testament, they reject portions of the Old Testament as well.
Yes, they do. We talked about that briefly, yeah, 2 weeks ago, where, you know, they have to reject the book of Daniel. They have to.
Because it prophesies time-wise exactly when Christ would come, when he would die, and right, when the final rejection of Israel of the Son of God would occur with the stoning of Stephen. All that is prophesied.
And I think somewhere in this study we're going to look at that at some point. I don't know if it'll be this evening or another study, right, but we will get to that. It's very interesting. So where are we headed next?
Let's go to Matthew 27. I want to read a fairly lengthy portion of Matthew 27, just so people can see the words on the page, how the Jewish nation reacted to Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Okay.
I want to start in verse 32. You know, this is after Jesus had gone through the trials before the high priest, and they had condemned him. He went before Pilate. Pilate washed his hands of him, but let the Jews did what they wanted to do to him. And he was about to go to Calvary, starting in verse 32. And going out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They forced this one to carry his cross. And coming to a place called Golgotha, which is called Place of a Skull, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall to drink. And when he had tasted, he would not drink. And they crucified him, dividing his garments, casting a lot, so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and they cast a lot for my clothing. I want to pause here.
Mm-hmm.
They crucified him. The one who had told them the ways of salvation from his Father, from Jehovah, from their God. The one that had healed so many people, had raised people from the dead.
They were eyewitnesses of this.
They crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
We talked about that a little last week. Some of it was because they put all of the importance on the temple, and they didn't want to lose that.
They were jealous of him.
Yeah.
Let's continue on in verse 36. And sitting down, they guarded him there. And they put up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two thieves were crucified with him, one off the right and one off the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, shaking their heads and saying, "You destroying the temple and building it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Mm-hmm. And in the same way, also the chief priests mocked with the scribes and elders, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." And also the thieves were crucified with him, reviled him, saying the same. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard, said, this one calls for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and he put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And crying again with a loud voice, Jesus released his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were sheared, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep arose. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. They killed him.
Yeah, they did.
The one that was sent to give them the gospel of peace, the one that healed their people.
They saw the signs and wonders that he did. In fact, they knew based on this that he would do these things, because they said, if he is the king, let him come down off there himself. So they knew he had the ability to be able to do that.
You know, one of the accusations against him was that they claimed that Jesus said that Jesus would destroy their temple and right. would raise it up again in 3 days. Well, he didn't say that.
Right. No,
he said, you know, if you destroy this temple, talking about his body,
correct.
Which they were doing in this very account, what we're doing, then I will raise it up again in 3 days. And so here, at his death, what happened in the temple in verse 51?
It says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom.
This is the veil that separated the holy and the most holy place. It signified that the temple services were no longer important.
Right.
Because Jesus had just fulfilled them in dying on the cross. In the past, the services involved bringing a sacrifice to the temple, a sin offering for forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
It pointed to what Jesus would come and do, and now Jesus has accomplished that very thing.
He has.
So there's no longer a need for those services. The fact that they had destroyed him, they were so concerned about their temple being destroyed because that's what they claimed Jesus said when he didn't. Yet, the very thing they feared actually happened because they rejected the Son of God and they put him to death on the cross. Now, no longer their temple services were needed.
Now, they should have understood, too, this, just so everybody knows, this veil wasn't just some thin, sheer curtain. It was inches thick. It was very thick, and it was woven, and it was very precise, and it had, there was a design on it. The
yes.
Bible tells us a lot about
yeah.
it. And so this was torn from the top to the bottom. It was out of the reach of, a man couldn't just reach up there and cut it. So it was God that ripped that veil
right.
in two. It had to be, and they had to know this. They had to know it. And then when the earth quaked and the rocks split, and it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And then it goes on to say, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many.
So this happened after his resurrection.
Technically
3 days later, according
right.
to Jewish things, but Jesus died on a Friday. He rose again Sunday morning.
Yeah. And, you know, this is another, I always like to talk about this just for a moment. Remember, he died on the Passover. And following the Passover, there's always a Sabbath. But here, he died on the Passover. And then so the Sabbath was not only the Passover Sabbath, but it was the seventh day Sabbath.
Think about what you just said. Jesus died on the Passover towards evening on the Friday before the sun went down, before the Sabbath began.
Right.
And they were concerned about them staying on the cross.
Correct.
During the Sabbath hours. That's when they sacrificed the Passover lamb in the temple.
Which was pointing to Christ.
Yes.
This should have all rang a bell. I mean,
right.
And all, they had this particular event since Moses' day. God had showed them when they came out of Egypt, he had instructed all of his people on this Messiah that would come. They knew this even before, but through that, this is how we set this whole study up. We had talked about how they'd come through and they were in captivity. And all of these things through these couple of thousand years, through thousands of years, they were doing these things that were pointing to this very moment.
Let's look at a little bit about a conversation Jesus had with the religious leaders in John chapter 8. And it'll tell us exactly why this happened, why they chose to kill him.
Okay.
I want to start in verse 39. It's kind of in the middle of a conversation, but I think you'll understand as we read through it. I'm going to read verses 39 through 47. It says, "They answered and said to him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus answered them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard beside God. This Abraham did not do.'" Notice what he's saying here.
Yeah, he's saying.
He says, "I was beside God when I heard these things."
Yeah, that is your translation. That's the new the
modern King James.
Yeah,
and continues on. He says, "You know, you do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me." Is that true today? Just as true today as it was back then?
Well, yes, it should be. If God were their father, they would love Jesus.
"If God were your father, you would love me, for I went forth and came from God, for I did not come of myself, but he sent me." God sent his son. "Why do you not know my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of the devil, his father, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." What did they do? They murdered Jesus on the cross.
They did.
"He was a murderer from the beginning and did not abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear them because you are not of God."
And,
wow.
And he's talking to the Jewish leaders
Yes. Here,
those who were leading Israel.
He says in verse 46, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" They tried to do that in his trial, but they couldn't find witnesses that could agree on their testimony.
Right.
So when he told them, when they asked him, "Who are you?" and he told them that he was the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy because he says he's the Son of God. That's how they destroyed him. That's the reason they gave for putting him to death, because he said he's the Son of God.
So if someone wants to be a child of God, they have to accept the Son of God.
Yes.
If someone is going to be chosen by God, they have to accept the Son of God.
Jesus says, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased."
Yeah, that's
what
God said.
I mean, God said about Jesus,
right,
you know,
right.
At his baptism.
Right.
At the transfiguration, "This is my Son, hear him."
And they still, to this day, are rejecting. Now, you know, one of the things we always like to make clear is, individual, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your bloodline, if you can come to Christ individually, but as a nation, Israel has rejected and is rejecting Jesus Christ.
Think about the words he told them. he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Wow. What condemnation.
Yeah. He says they're children of the devil. That's what he's saying. Anyone who doesn't hear the words of God, regardless of their background, regardless of their heritage, they are of the devil. It's just very clear. And that's what's beautiful, is that you and I, if we accept Christ, can be the seed of Abraham. We're part of that group because we have accepted Christ.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. God has opened it up for every person.
You know, this is not new. I want to go to Isaiah 30 and look at verses 8 through 11. And do you think you can read that?
I think so.
Isaiah 30, verses 8 through 11.
Okay, let's give it a try. And I apologize for this, friends. It's just one of those things I'm dealing with right now. Isaiah 30, 8 through 11. And I'm reading from the New King James. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that it is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of Jehovah, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Wow. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
Wow.
Don't tell us the truth. Teach us things we want to hear, that we're okay. That we're okay in our disobedience to God. We're okay in our rejection of God's law. That's what they're asking. And Isaiah wrote this as a witness, not only for that time, but for the time to come.
Yeah, this is prophetic. And this is what happened in the first century. And Ed, this is what's happening today. It's still happening.
Let's go to the book of Micah. And I want to read chapter 3. Verses 8 through 12. Micah is a little book of prophecy just past the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, starting with verse 8. But I am full of power by the Spirit of Jehovah and justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. Please hear this, heads of the house of Jacob and magistrates of the house of Israel who hate justice and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her head judges for a bribe. Her priest teaches for pay. Her prophets divine for silver. Yet they will lean on Jehovah and say, is not Jehovah among us? No evil can come on us. Therefore, on account of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house of into high places of the forest. They were bribing the judges. They were paying the priests to teach them what they wanted them to hear. They paid the prophets. And yet they said, is Jehovah not among us? No evil can come on us.
You know, this is something that is talked about in the New Testament, how they will hire people to tell them what they want to hear. Because they have itching ears.
Yes.
They want to hear what they want to hear.
And because they don't have the love of the truth.
That's it. And who is the truth, Ed?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Son of God.
John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he continues, no one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says.
That's true today.
It's true today. And so
what? You don't come to God through a priest,
right?
A pastor, a denomination, a radio ministry,
a bloodline,
yeah.
Right? Through a heritage,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. And so to say that a group of people, because of their heritage or because of their nationality, is God's chosen people, it's diametrically opposed to what the Bible is teaching us.
Right.
And I hope, you know, I know this hits hard, but we have to speak truth. We have to speak truth. There's a reason why the Christian church exists, and it exists because the nation of Israel did not want to propagate the truth about the Son of God that was coming to save the world.
Yeah, I think we read last week that this gospel that Israel was supposed to preach now has been given to the nations.
Yes, to you and me, to everyone who's listening. It's our responsibility when we hear this message and we know the truth that Jesus is the Son of God to teach this to people around us, to share it, to live the life, to show the character of Christ in the way that we live. That's part of preaching the gospel.
Now, I have in my my personal study, we can go to John chapter 2 next, and you know what that's about.
Yeah, let's do
or
that.
Or we could go to Daniel. So maybe we should do John chapter 2 first.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to John chapter 2. And where did you want to start?
Let's read verses 13 through 22.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Please.
I'll try to do that. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. When the sheep and the oxen poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables, then he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your Father's house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said.
You know, this is interesting. You know, the religious leaders were challenging him, okay, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Mm. They're always looking for proof, yet their proof had been there all along. The Spirit of God coming upon Christ at his baptism.
Yeah.
There were observers of the Jewish leadership there. You know, all the miracles he did, all the people he's healed, all the words that he spoke from his Father, that his Father had given him to speak, that gospel of peace to the sons of Israel. They heard all these things. He quoted the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's all he ever quoted.
Them. Yes. And so they knew all these things, yet they're asking him for a sign. And so this is the interaction that Jesus had with the Jewish leaders, that they tried to turn against him at his trial by saying that Jesus claimed that he would destroy the temple. What he was saying, he says, "You destroy this temple," talking about the temple of his body, talking about crucifying him on the cross. He says, "In 3 days, I will raise this temple up again." And, you know, what we're talking about is the church of God, the early Christian church, that Jesus is the foundation of that church. And that's, you know, the Jewish had put all their emphasis on the temple. The temple at one time contained the law of God. It didn't at this time because it had gone missing. The Ark of the Covenant was no longer there. But they took such pride in it and thought, because we have this temple, we're okay. We're good with God. And they weren't. They rejected his Son. And so when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple," you know, he was talking about his body, but when the Jews destroyed his body, they were actually destroying their temple.
Right.
Because the temple services for hundreds of years had pointed to what Christ would come to do. And now that he was here and done it, there is no longer a need for those things.
You know, I think that this is one of the things that you had mentioned. I'm going to back up a little bit here because you were talking about them just not believing. John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start in verse 31. Jesus says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true.
Right.
There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. You have sent me to, or sent, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." And this is the point. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you." And, you know, I mean, it goes, let me just finish out the chapter.
All right.
He says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. And another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who you receive? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?"
Right.
This is a scathing sermon. It really is, because he's saying, look, you claim to believe Moses.
You claim to be God's people.
Yes.
God used Moses to bring his people out of Egypt.
That's it.
Yeah.
You claim to believe these things, and yet here I am, the one that Moses was talking about, and you act like I don't even exist.
Right. And look at all these works were witnesses that God had sent him.
Hmm.
God was working through his son to do these miracles. It's so interesting that, let me get my reference text, Matthew 9:8.
Okay.
We talked about this recently in another study, I believe. It talked about, let me just read verses 1 through 8.
Okay.
This is one of the miracles of Jesus. "And he entered into a boat and passed over and came to his own city."
Hmm.
What does the Bible say? A prophet's not accepted in his own
town.
Yeah. "And behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Child, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.' And lo, some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then he said to the paralytic, 'Arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' And he arose and departed to his house. But when the crowd saw, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such authority to men." God had given that authority to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not only the authority to forgive sins, but the power to raise this man up.
That's right. And so, you know, talking about raising this man up, destroying the temple, and I will destroy this temple and I will raise it up. So many people misunderstand that text, and they believe that that means Jesus resurrected himself. But no, like you were talking about earlier, it's not talking about Christ. It's the body of Christ is who? Who is
the Christian church?
It's the church.
The true followers of God.
Yes. So if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days.
Right.
While the Jewish temple ceased to exist, and Jesus did die, God resurrected him. There's over 30 verses in the Bible that tells us God resurrected Christ. And the church was built on this foundation, which is Christ.
You've got to remember, the temple services were the gospel preached to the children of Israel, not only to the children of Israel, but anybody who came to observe
to the
what
world.
Was happening there.
Yeah.
They all pointed to what Christ would come and do, the Son of God. And so once it's done, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, there's no need for it. But there's still a need for the gospel to be preached.
Mm-hmm.
And now that has gone through the Christian church, through the Gentiles. And this church is founded on a cornerstone,
which is
Jesus Christ.
To
the Jews, a stumbling block, a rock of offense. But to the Christian church, it's the foundation of the church.
Amen. You know, you had pointed out 2 weeks ago, Ed, that it was evident that the timeline of Christ Jesus being here was not just known by the Jews, but anybody who wanted to know the Word of God, who would study and know these things. You talked about those three wise men.
Yes.
They weren't Christian. They weren't Jewish.
It didn't say there were three, but that's
I did say three, didn't I?
Typical.
We assume. Yeah, I should have said
because
wise.
Because there's three gifts, but
yeah.
We don't know.
And you know, I think that's the first time I've ever used that in that context. But you know, this time of year, that's what you hear.
Yeah.
It shows the power of hearing things
and
just accepting it,
right.
Doesn't it? I apologize for that, but yeah, the wise men, and they weren't. They weren't Jewish. They were from a different belief structure.
Right.
But they were looking for the Messiah.
They had studied the Word of God. They knew that the time was now.
Yeah. And even, I mean, everybody who was in that region especially knew and understood these things.
Not only does the Bible talk about the time that Christ, the exact time that Christ would be born and come to this earth, but it also talked about where he would be born.
That's right. It was very specific.
Yes.
There were two Bethlehems, and it was very specific that it would be Bethlehem Ephrathah.
Yeah.
And so it's just amazing to me that these things were prophesied. One other thing that I don't know that many Christians know, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the coming of Jesus Christ. And all of them were fulfilled, and with pinpoint accuracy. And so this is just another testament to me that the Bible is inspired. It's a book from God. It's not something that men could have put together.
Right.
So it's encouraging to me. And again, friends, I want to encourage you, read your Bible, open it up and read these things and proof text and download a software. But I just always want to remind you of that. So where were we at?
I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Oh yes.
And let's read verses 11 through 22. Maybe you can read that, Mark.
Sure.
And I want to show you this concept of Jesus raising up the temple or the church.
Okay. So Ephesians 2. 11 through 13?
Through the end of the chapter.
Through the end of the chapter, okay. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. So give us a little understanding here. Remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision. Flesh is a sinful tendency.
Right.
We're not talking about our skin here. We're talking about our character. Are our characteristics fleshly? Or are they spiritual according to God?
Yeah. Do we have a circumcision of the heart or not?
Okay. Yeah. So this is what he's talking about. And Let's see. I think I'll just pick up in verse 12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Remember the temple that the Jews used to perform these ordinances, mm-hmm. that was found in the law of the commandments that had to deal with the sacrifice, the gospel story. That's where God dwelt at one time.
Yes, in the most holy place.
And now Christ, the cornerstone, is building a new temple for the dwelling place of God through his Spirit in your and my hearts.
Yeah, Galatians and Romans tell us that.
This is the temple that Jesus Christ is building up. And look at verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, when he died on the cross, it's no longer needed to perform those sacrificial services.
Right.
No longer needed to observe those feast days that pointed to what Christ would come and do.
Event.
Because Christ has come and done that.
Correct. So, and look at verse 14, Ed. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation.
Remember back in the day, the Gentiles weren't allowed to participate in the sacrificial system
right.
of the temple. But now, through Christ, they can have God dwelling in their hearts.
Which
through
is,
his son.
Which is so much better than a hand-built temple.
Right.
So now we can become the temple
of
God.
Part of the
Spirit.
Temple of God, yes.
Yeah. And in fact, that's what's beautiful about this whole thing. Now we don't need that service. We know it's done. Christ completed it. This was the part of the law that he fulfilled.
Yes.
And remember that the law still exists. But anything in that Old Testament, in the Old Testament sanctuary service that pointed to Christ's coming, now that he has come and fulfilled this part, we no longer do those things. But all of the other things are still in place. They're still intact.
This is the plan of salvation from the beginning.
Amen.
It wasn't based only on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But the second half of the gospel is talking about this temple, Christ being the cornerstone, mm-hmm. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
He can help us overcome sin. And he also brings the presence of his Father, the Spirit of God, into our hearts and minds.
Yes, he does. And, you know, you talk about this was actually the case from the beginning. In Genesis 3:15, it talks about God putting enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. And this enmity is mentioned here,
right,
in this text.
You know, I just want to pause here and share this with our listeners. Mark, I just saw you underlining something in your Bible.
Yeah, I was.
We're learning all the time, right?
We are.
I'll be cutting and pasting in my Bible online to gather more text as we study here together on the air.
And that's the thing. You know, I saw these words while I was reading it, and I thought, I got to go back and get that. But that's why I stumbled in a couple of places. Yeah. I saw something, and I thought, it's right here. Here it is right in front of me.
Right. And so we're learning along with everybody else as we do this
absolutely.
Study. Absolutely. But, you know, this is so important for people to understand that this idea that there needs to be another temple built someplace, a physical temple where sacrifices can occur again.
Wow.
It's totally denying the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
That's blasphemy. You know, when we deny what's right before us, and really, it's so dangerous. They accused Christ of blaspheming because he had said to that man, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
But God gave him, you made that clear, the scripture makes that clear, God gave him that authority.
Yes.
That's not blaspheming.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing is, what do you want to believe? Do you want to believe what God's word says, or do you want to believe what men are teaching?
Do you have a love for the truth? Do you want just plainly, simply want to find out what the Bible says versus, you know, proving somebody else wrong, proving yourself right, or following the church? If you just want to find out what's truth, read the words on the page of the Bible.
And at first, it might feel a little uncomfortable because it's not what you're used to. Or you might be thinking, well, what are my friends or family going to think?
This is different than what my pastor says.
And it's going to cause friction.
Yes.
When you go to your pastor, a friend of ours right here in this ministry went to his pastor. And he told me, he said, it wasn't an easy thing to do. But it had to be done.
Right.
And he didn't do it to say, hey, look, I'm right and you're wrong. He did it to say to the pastor, lives are at stake.
Yes.
Lives are at stake. Why are you preaching this when the Bible clearly says something different?
Yeah.
And so this is a difficult thing. This is what Jesus was doing. This is what he has called you and me and everyone who wants to follow him to do. That's why he says, take up your cross. He didn't say, take up my cross. We each have a cross to bear, friends. We each are going to come up against opposition if we're preaching the truth of God's word. It's going to happen.
So this idea of Jesus raising up another temple in 3 days, he was raised from the grave.
That's right.
He started immediately this temple by, you know, Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus, you know, he was walking with a couple of disciples. They were kept from recognizing him. Mm. Their eyes were blinded. What does he do? He opens the scriptures to them to explain what happened.
All of the things that pertain to him.
Yes.
And he showed them from the Bible that, hey, look, this. He was showing them the Messiah, and they didn't know that he was walking with them.
Yes.
And then later on, when they realized, they said, didn't it burn within our hearts? They knew that there was something about this man, and it was the Son of God,
right.
And they realized it.
So I want to share Colossians chapter 1, this idea of a new temple. And let's start in verse 25.
Okay.
Now, Paul in this chapter speaks in extremely long sentences because he wants you to understand every little bit of piece of information to help you with your understanding. So we're starting in the middle of a sentence. Verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the administration of God, given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. For to them, God would make known. To who is he making this known? His saints. Mm. Before he tried to make known to the sons of Israel, now he's making known to his saints. For to them, God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, for which I also labor, striving according to the working of him who works in me in power. So this was the second half of the gospel story, Christ in you, the hope of glory, which had been hidden from the ages, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a beautiful thing. This is, and really, this is actually the moving of that temple, isn't
yes.
it? That's what we're talking about here. This very temple that was being pointed to, he's saying, look, this is the Christ is in you now. You don't have to do those things that pointed to him coming. He's fulfilled that.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Amen. So I think this might be a good stopping point, yeah. Ed. We've only got less than a minute left, and, you know, I guess we'll be back here next year.
Yes.
It'll be 2025 the next time we're on the air. And, you know, this has been this year has been a blessing. It's had its trials, but being here each week has just been a blessing for me. And so we'll pick up next week here next year where we left off, Lord willing. And let's have a closing word of prayer.
Sure.
Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening and just to be able to open your word and just see the words on the page. Father, I ask that people will just hear these things, that they will see what your word says, that they will recognize that you do have a people on earth, and it's those who have accepted your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that each person listening will accept that, will accept the gift that you've given them, the gift of salvation through your Son, Christ. And Father, we just ask that as we begin a new year, that we will be safe and that we will come together again next week, and that we will just continue maybe with the idea of completing and reading your word through maybe in the year of 2025. So please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for this gift of your word. Father, most of all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we're so glad you're here. Ed, thank you for leading that study. Hopefully my voice, everything will be back to normal next year, next week.
Yeah.
And friends, we hope you'll tune in again right here on New Visions Radio next Sunday, 7 p.m. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.